good to be back. I missed you so much when I was gone, and that's not like in like a, I really do mean that, like genuinely mean that. Seeing your faces right now is just like, it's so awesome. It really is great. So I'm very, very thankful to be back. If you didn't know, I had to go away for like 7 weeks for work. It wasn't something I chose to do, kind of had to do that. I went to Tucson, Arizona, and the weather was really nice. It has been a period of acclimation getting back here, not only spiritually, mentally, physically, yes, but the temperature too. So, but it was a blessing, man, and that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today is a little bit of the journey that God brought me on. And part of it, I'm going to talk about a little bit more as I go through this message, but part of it was as I was there for 7 weeks, I did an in-depth study on the book of Joshua, and it was awesome. It was so good. God taught me some really great stuff. I took like 14 pages of notes. I was journaling. I was doing devotionals. I was watching videos. Like I just told Rich earlier this morning that I went on like this rabbit hole of like Israel and Palestine and what is happening throughout the history and where we're at now. And man, it was really, really good. And literally almost none of it applies to anything I'm talking about this morning. So frustrating. I'm like, woo, I got all this stuff. I'm so excited to tell you guys about it. And God's like, hey, by the way, like you're not going to talk about that. And I was like, oh, that's really cool, God, that's great. So I had to trust that. And really frustrating, but it's going to be good. And don't worry, guys. I'm going to throw some little tasty nuggets of Joshua in there as we go along. Not because I want to, I do, but God just made it so that some of the stuff that he taught me while I was gone also apply to some of the things he was teaching me through his word in Joshua. So what I'm going to talk about today is something that Jesus promised us that if we're being honest, many of us just don't see happening in our day-to-day life. All right, we're going to be talking about rest. We're going to be talking about finding rest. And the verse we're going to be talking about, and by the way, let me just give a little thing here. Usually, like when I get up here, I like to go through verse by verse, do exegetical, like we here's the verses, we'll go through it, we'll discuss it, and we'll try to take out the application and what God's telling us through that. Today I'm going to do a little bit different, switch it up. We're really only going to focus on one verse, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to try to give a little bit of like perspective and things that God has brought me through recently and apply it to this verse, and hopefully that God will bless us through that. So the verse we're going to be talking about is Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It's pretty easy. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is the verse we're going to be talking about today. So, weary and burdened. That's not necessarily like words that we typically use to describe ourselves, right? Like we don't come home from work and I'm like, oh, I'm very weary and burdened. I must replenish myself with supper. I feel, well, maybe Dustin Bunch and Kent Chili talk like that. Yeah. But most of us, weary and burdened aren't typically words we use to describe ourselves. So weary simply means tired, all right? So weary means tired, and burdened is this idea that, like, I have so much to do and so little time to do it in. So instead of burdened, we could say, like, overwhelmed or very busy. Busy is a pretty good word to fit in there. So weary and burdened, tired and busy. So what Jesus is saying here is, come to me, all who are tired and busy, and I will give you rest. So out of those three words, tired, busy, and rest, which of those words would best describe your life? Yes, right? Like, we're laughing because the majority of us, busy and tired is probably going to be the words that describe our life, right? I mean, that's just life, and it can be frustrating, and sometimes it's not, sometimes it is this really intense craziness, right? Like life is just so crazy, we're so tired, we're so busy, and it's like that sometimes, but even if it's not like that, it's always just this low-key exhaustion, right? Like all the time. even thinking about it right now, most of us are like getting exhausted by the thought of how it's always this low-key exhaustion. Like we're always just a little bit tired, a little bit sleepy, a little bit overwhelmed. At the bare minimum, that's what it is, right? But then we have these seasons where we're just like, I need rest. So like, we all have reasons why we're busy and tired, right? Like we need to eat, so we need food, we need money to buy food so we can eat, so we can live. So like work is almost all of us struggle with, right? It leads to being tired and overwhelmed and busy. Work's definitely something we can relate with. What about school? There's like a whole entire chunk of people right here who are like in the midst of the overwhelming season of school. And many of you are going through it or can relate to it. Some of you are even doing school and work at the same time. This is very exhausting, right? Then add in, you know, marriages, relationships, children, right? Children can be exhausting. Let's just replace that with are. They are exhausting. And then who knows, man? Maybe you got a kid doing X Games moves off the banister till his arms popping out, his bones popping out his arm, and then you got a 3-year-old daughter who rips her clothes off, says she's done with this family, and she's running down the street naked. It happens. It happened. Both of those things might happen in my house. So, like, all of this stuff leads us to this sense of, man, we're tired. We are so busy. Like, we want rest. But then, on top of that, in the last 15 to 20 years, there's this, like, cherry on top of our exhaustion, right? And it leads to us feeling way more busy and tired than we really should. Did anyone might know what I'm talking about? Yeah, our smartphones. All right, now listen. Do not hate on me right now. Just give me a minute. Hear me out. Let me talk through this. All right. Our phones are constantly distracting us. Constantly. I mean, that's the point of the notifications and all of this stuff, is to distract us from what we're doing so we can pay attention to the thing that just happened, right? That is the point. They're constantly distracting us. In fact, like right now, there's historians that are calling this period that we're in, sarcastically calling it, which is a sarcastic historian. That must be a very funny. I would love to meet that guy. But they're sarcastically calling this period the age of distraction, which is pretty accurate with every streaming service, music, movies, shows. Like you guys know what it's distracted. There's so much temptation for us to be distracted and escape. Right? All of this escape. But what I found in my life is this constant distraction, this constant like temptation to be distracted, erodes my ability to receive this type of rest that Jesus promises me in this verse, in verse 28. So, and one of the reasons here is why, is because like with the birth of the smartphone came the birth of this new expectation, this new like social expectation that we should always be available, right? Like, you know, we'll text somebody at like 9 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock at night, whatever, but like, let's be real. Like sometimes I'll hear a good song or I'll find a new band or something and I'll text like my brothers, my sister at like 2 a.m. I'm like, you gotta check this out, right? And yeah, I get that's good, right? But like, whenever in history would you find it reasonable to go to someone's house at 2 a.m, knock on their door, and be like, you gotta try this new flavor of ice cream? Like, but with our phones, we're constantly texting. And like, if we're honest, I'll speak for myself, and I'm gonna assume people are gonna agree with me, but when we text people, even if it's at ridiculous hours of the night, if we're being honest, I mean, we probably kind of expect a timely response too, right? Like, I mean, it's this expectation that you're always available. Okay, this isn't going to be like a message about like how sinful smartphones are. That's not what this is. I just want to put some things in perspective, and I want to use some facts about what happens with all of this temptation to be distracted. I'm not even going to get into the dopamine hit that our brains get when we hear notifications and stuff like that. I'm not even going to talk about it, guys. I'm not even going to talk about how the overstimulation of all of these screens that we're watching are leading to addiction and stuff like that. I'm not even going to talk about it, all right? I'm just going to take two facts here. Hear these out, ready? The average American spends 5.4 hours a day on their phone. All right, that's only including your phone screen, not any other screens. That's just your phone. 5.4 hours a day. The average American checks their phone 86 times every day. That's once every 11 minutes. This is just the average. Alyssa, you made the same face I am making right now and made before. Like, ee, right? This is the average. Once every 11 minutes. This is an addiction, right? You could literally pick anything else and we would call it an addiction. Like anything else. Milkshakes, right? You got this girl at work. In every 11 minutes, she's like, I gotta have this milkshake. And you're like, Susie, you got a problem. You're addicted to milkshakes. Or like anything. Just in your head, think badminton, right? You gotta play a round of badminton every 11 minutes. You're like, Brad, you got a problem. Anything else, and we call it an addiction. But when it comes to our phones, we kind of sweep it under the rug because, what, it's convenient or whatever the reason is. But really, it's just a distraction. And what our phones promise us and what all of these temptations to distract us, they promise us an escape, right? They promise us this escape. And our culture promises that rest is found in this escape. Like when you're at work or something and it's just stressful and you're like, man, I'm just going to check my social media for 5 minutes, try to just get out of this environment for a minute. Or you get home from work and your spouse is like, ah, because I've been around these little sinful things, children, for all day and I need adult interaction. And then you're like, this is stressful. I'm just going to go over here and I'm going to hop on my phone for 20 minutes and escape, right? It's always promising this escape. But that's not leading to real rest. In fact, it's leading to us being actually more tired and more busy. Like, be honest about this, like I am and I was when I was doing this. Like, when you go to check, like, I don't know, maybe one YouTube video or, like, you hop on TikTok for a second or, like, Facebook Reels or whatever it is. And, like, you're like, I'll just check out one. And then an hour later, you wake up from this media coma. And you're like, oh, that was probably not the best use of time. It is exhausting. And I know that maybe not all of us can relate to exactly what I'm saying. Maybe some of us are more disciplined in their phone use or don't use it as much or whatever. But there's very comparable things that you can slide right in here. But cell phones are definitely something that is relatable to the majority of us, and it is an issue. But this promise that rest is found in this escape, that's a lie. It's not the same rest that Jesus promises us. Yeah. So we're going to talk about rest today. We're going to be going off this verse. One of the most ancient practices of God's people is called the Sabbath, right? So this is just a holy day of rest. It comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to rest. And it's just a holy day of rest where you don't do work. You hang out with God, you enjoy God, you enjoy His creation, and you enjoy each other. All right, that's the purpose of it. This is like one of the oldest things that God's people did. So, yeah, where was I here? You can tell I haven't done this in a minute. So, yeah, Genesis 2, right? First time we see this idea of the Sabbath. Now, at this point, Genesis 2, this is perfection. We are in a state of perfection. There's no sin, there's no brokenness, there's no imperfect relationship. We are in a state of perfection when we're in Genesis 2, all right? And God still says, oh, you should take a day and rest. That should resonate. Because we move forward, right, and we're in Exodus, and we see that this is the next time we talk about the Sabbath. We have moved from the state of perfection, sin has entered the world. All right, so now we are in a broken world, and this idea of Sabbath has went from something that God said we should do to now a command. Now God commands it, and we're gonna read it. This is found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your maidservants, or your son, your daughter, your manservants, your maidservants, nor your animals, nor your alien, or like your visitor or your guest in your gates, in your home. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So we are told for 6 days to work hard. And on the seventh day, we rest hard. That's what God wants us to do. Remember, guys, God, even in a state of perfection, God thought that this was important enough for us to do. How much more in this broken, sinful world we now live that we should listen to this command? This is one of the Ten Commandments, right? As God was giving Moses these commandments, the Ten Commandments, these ten overarching rules and boundaries for God's people to live the good life with Him and each other forever, right? That's what the Ten Commandments are. And then we have this one on the Sabbath. Out of all of the commandments, this one about the Sabbath takes up the most real estate. It's got the most words, all right, the most space of all the commandments. This one right here. Compare this with murder. Four words. God's like, yeah, you shouldn't murder. Like, good talk, let's move on. And then we get to the Sabbath and we're like, boom, we got all this. Why is that? Like, I can't help but think that, like, there's this much explanation on the Sabbath because it's the one commandment that God knew we were going to be tempted to just maybe discard or not honor. That's what I think. We're always tempted to break this one. But look at all of this explanation God gives for it. So we fast forward, right? We fast forward from God giving these commandments to Moses in the Old Testament in Exodus, and then we move forward to the New Testament. Jesus is walking around doing his thing, all right? And Jesus is always getting in trouble. Pharisees do not like him, right? He's always getting in trouble because he's breaking their rules of the Sabbath, and they don't like that. It went from this command that God gave, we fast forward to the Pharisees, and now the Sabbath has become this legalistic thing that is all about, like, rule-keeping instead of a holy day of rest. Because the Pharisees have taken this extensive man-made list of things you can and cannot do on the Sabbath. And Jesus is like, man, that's not what it's about. It's about a holy day of rest. So he starts breaking these rules of the Sabbath. And let me clarify, Jesus is breaking the Pharisees' rules of the Sabbath. Jesus is not breaking God's rules of the Pharisees. Of the Sabbath. That's important. But if we look at what Jesus was doing as he was breaking these rules on the Sabbath, it's kind of telling. It seems like Jesus, by his actions, is trying to teach us something about this day of rest. Of all four biographies, so all four of the stories, the biographies we have of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them, we see that Jesus did a total of 7 miracles on the Sabbath. 7 of them. Here they are, ready? Boom. Crippled man, possessed man, Peter's mother-in-law, a man with a deformed hand, a blind man, a crippled woman, a man with a chronic disease. So those are the things, the miracles that he did on the Sabbath throughout all four of the biographies of Jesus. 100% of these miracles are healings. All 7 of them our healings. Seems like Jesus is trying to show us that it's not about rule keeping. All right, it's not about finding favor in God's eyes, about being inconvenienced by something you don't necessarily want to do, but actually it's about healing. 100% of the Sabbath miracles are healings. God uses rest to heal us. All right, heal us from the constant distractions, constant demand of your time and ability, constant sense of hurry, and all the exhaustion and burdensome and all that stuff that comes from all of that. God uses rest to heal us. So obviously, guys, I'm encouraging us to try to practice Sabbathing. It's not a word. You can use it, though. But get your Sabbath on, right? Practice Sabbath, all right? If you do it on Sunday, that's awesome, right? If you do it on Sunday, but if you can't, if your schedule doesn't allow you to, maybe you do it on a Tuesday or you do it on a Thursday, or if your schedule is just so crazy because you're in a crazy season of life, you can only do like half a day on Wednesday, start somewhere, all right? like Renee and I, we do Sundays. This just works out best for us, right? We come and worship with you guys, and it is the highlight of our week to be with you guys and praise God together. And then we go and we meet as a life group, and we have that closer, more centered, deeper fellowship and discipleship as we're pushing each other in life group. And then we get home in the afternoon, and we turn our phones off, we throw them, and then we like don't touch them for the day. And we spend time together. We spend time alone with God. We spend time alone together. We enjoy each other. We enjoy His creation. That's what we try to do. And like, we don't have, by any means, do we have this figured out, because it's super difficult, all right? But that is what we try to strive to do. You know, like, we'll try to like go for a hike, or maybe like we'll just like wrestle each other and punch each other in the faces. Like, maybe not, Renee's not involved in that. Unless I'm the recipient. But like, you know, and maybe we'll have brunch, and then we'll have dinner, and maybe we'll have a breakfast snack in between, because it's our Sabbath, and we can eat breakfast all day, because breakfast is great. Wow, it's a little bit of aggression there. I'm really passionate about breakfast. That wasn't even in here. I didn't even, like, so, but, you know, we try to turn the TV off, like, maybe watch a Bills game if it's on, or end the night with a show or something, but we try to, like, turn off media, and just be together and enjoy each other. But it is difficult, but it's so rewarding. It is so rewarding. But that's what we try to do. But this, so I urge you guys to try to practice this. But this idea of like Sabbath isn't necessarily like the angle I'm coming from today. The angle I'm coming from today is rest. Sometimes rest is a momentary, voluntary thing that we pursue on our own terms, like a Sabbath, right? But sometimes God rips us away from what's comfortable and normal, and He takes us away for a purpose of rest. He could do that for rest. He could do that for a lot of reasons. And rest is one of the reasons He could do that. So, let me try to put this in different terms here. I got to take a sip of water. There's always like an awkward like silence for like 3 seconds as someone drinks while they're up here. So don't make it awkward, guys. It's on you. Those are weird noises. I wasn't expecting those noises. All right, so, this idea of rest, right, coming when we least expect it or in ways that we don't expect it. This is where I'm coming here from. As I prepared 2 months ago to leave for work, when I say prepare, I had like 3 days. So I knew I needed to set some goals for myself to stay motivated and stay focused. That's just how I work. So I set a physical goal, I set a mental and an intellectual goal, and I set a spiritual goal. I'm not going to get into the first two, but I will assure you that I crushed them and it was fantastic. So the spiritual goal was I'm going to do an extensive study of the book of Joshua. I don't know why. I just like woke up one day and I feel like God was like, you should do this. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm doing. So I did that. And it was awesome. But like I knew I needed to set these goals because I was going into a time that was I knew was going to be physically exhausting, mentally exhausting, spiritually exhausting. So I knew I needed to set these goals. Just the fact of being away from my wife and kids and like everything you're comfortable with and normal, going to a new environment, you know, long hours, all this stuff, it's not something that you necessarily like want to do, right? So I knew that I needed to set these goals. What happened was pretty unexpected. And I'll be honest, I think it was unexpected because at the time of me leaving, I was focused more on my circumstance in my situation, more than I was focused on God's promises and His faithfulness. So I think that's why it was unexpected. But as I read through Joshua, God very easily reminded me of His faithfulness and His promises. So I was working through that. But what happened was, it was awesome, guys. What should have been a time away that was exhausting and depleting of my energy and my joy and just draining, right? It ended up being renewing to me. It rejuvenated me. It renewed me. It refreshed me. It brought me a new joy and strength. And the only reason that happened is because I focused all my energy and attention on spending time alone with God. Not just alone, but with God. All right. I even seeked. That's such a weird word. I think soaked, seeked, sought. Man. That proved anything. That definitely just a regular dude, right? Man, that's awesome. So, anyways, yeah, I'm not going to use that word. I don't like that word. No, I even looked for a new church when I was down there, just a church to like meet people and be in part of the body and have community because it's so important. And like, guys, maybe like I'm extroverted, right? But it's still awkward. It's still uncomfortable to do things like that, but I know how important community is. So I went and I tried to find it, and God blessed me like so abundantly with community, who I know for a fact many are listening right now from Tucson, because that's how God works. He just blesses you when you seek him. So that wasn't even part of what I was talking about. It was just part of how God refreshed me in what should have been an exhausting time, only because I was trying to spend as much possible time with him. All right, my time away, it's weird because, you know, I had less free time than I do when I'm here. I have more free time at home. But when I was gone, a lot of my obligations and responsibilities, like being a father and a husband and an elder or whatever, or coaching, stuff like that, I didn't have. But I had much less time. But every moment I spent running after Jesus in any way I could, whether it was telling somebody about him or just spending alone time with him, being alone with him. Part of the things that I was trying to do was, yeah, I was studying Joshua, but I was praying way more. I was focusing on that. I was focusing on journaling, which is such a great spiritual discipline to practice. I was also spending more time resting in his word. And I say that way because preparing for like a message or studying to give a class to a bunch of people, that's a different way of spending time with God and studying the scripture than it is when you sit down by yourself, maybe with a good cup of coffee or something, and you just want to be with him and read his word and let him speak to you. All right, those are two different ways of hearing from God. But I was trying to do all this stuff, and what happened was God refreshed me. You know, I'm coming back with a bunch of dudes from Buffalo, and they're all like, they just look spent. And they have nothing to give to their families. But God provided something I wasn't even looking for. As I was studying and doing all this, spending time with God, I realized, man, God actually, he did this on purpose. I needed this. He wanted to heal me. He wanted to give me rest that I wasn't looking for. Because if you know me, you know that like I like to get dirty in our faith, right? I like to be in the gutter and just be in there with you guys and do this. And sometimes I might have a hard time saying no to things, right? And that is one of the reasons I surround myself with people I know love me enough that they'll call me out and say no to and for me. It's hard, but when you have real friends and relationships are centered on Christ, you can trust people that way. So I wasn't even looking for rest at the time, all right? But God knew I needed it. So he pulled me away from what I was comfortable with, and he took me to a place where I could find rest. And it was humbling, right, because I wasn't allowed to really lead in the ways that I'm used to. I wasn't able to, as a husband or a father or the other things that I do here with you guys, I wasn't able to do that. And it was difficult, but God assured me that this is what he wanted. He wanted to renew me and give me rest. And and that rest was found in waiting, right? It was found in waiting for 2 months, as life seemed to float by, and every day was Groundhog Day. It was horrible, but I joke, but honestly, rest was found in waiting. And the point I'm trying to get here, guys, is that when we see the purpose in our waiting, it brings us closer to God. We all can relate with waiting, right? All of us can. That's not, like, we get it. We know what it is to wait. Whether it's, like, marriage or for kids or for a new job or whatever it is, we've all waited for something. My question for you, a new lead pastor, right? We've all waited for things. Dude, those laughs are so telling. They're like, ha, 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 ha. We get it. But to drive that point home, there is a purpose in the waiting, all right? So the question is, who's doing the waiting? The obvious answer is we're doing the waiting, right? But what if the correct answer is God's doing the waiting? Hear me out. Imagine you got a 10-year-old boy, right? 10-year-old kid, and he's like, he goes to his dad, and he's like, Dad, what's up? And dad's like, what's up, kid? And that's how they talk, guys. Don't judge him. That's their family. And he's like, Dad, Can I, his dad's a pilot. That's an important part. I should throw that in there. If I didn't add that in, you guys would be like, I don't get it. So dad's a pilot, right? And he's like, Dad, can I fly the plane? Obviously, the dad's not going to be like, yeah, sure, son. Let's give you the opportunity to kill hundreds of people. He's not going to do that. Maybe he'll sit him on his lap and he can pretend or whatever, right? That'd be a good dad. But he's not going to let him actually fly the plane. That would be irresponsible. Instead, he's going to give the kid some knowledge that he has, try to share him. He's going to wait for the child to grow up. He's going to wait for the child to be trained so that he can successfully handle the task that he wants to do. Well, the dad's waiting. The dad's the one waiting for his son to be able to handle the task. So let's apply that to Scripture, right? That would be a wise choice to apply this to Scripture. Hashtag Joshua. I'm doing it. Here you go. Ready? It comes. So Joshua, right? At this point in the book of Joshua, dude's in charge. Took over from Moses. We are 40 years removed from when the Israelites were like, woo, we're going in the promised land. We're doing it. And the guy was like, no, not yet. Because the first time they arrived at the promised land, their lack of faith and their lack of obedience proved that they were not ready to enter into the promised land. So God had them enter the wilderness. And for 40 years, they were in the wilderness as God taught them and prepared them to be ready to enter the promised land. For those 40 years, God was the one waiting. God was the one waiting for his people to be ready. Okay? So, when we see the purpose in our season of waiting, it brings us closer to God. And almost always, very often, almost always, during our season of waiting, God is simply just waiting for us as he trains, teaches, and prepares us for what he has for us. And in that, there is healing. So whether it's like a prolonged time of waiting, like maybe like an illness or something, if you have some kind of illness and it's been a year and you're just like, man, I want to get back to normal life. Like that's a prolonged time. Or maybe it's just momentary, like practicing a Sabbath or something for a day or whatever you're doing. Or maybe it's like forced, like an injury, and you're forced to take this rest. Or maybe it's voluntary. Whatever it is, use this time, use that time wisely in finding rest in Jesus. Okay, so we're gonna begin to tie this all up, right? And that's when Joshua comes back in the mix. All right, so we're talking about rest here. That's what the promised land was to the Israelites. It was rest. It was rest from all of their enemies, all right? That's what they were waiting for, and God promised that to them. But there were three tribes, well, like 2.5 tribes of Israel that had a different plan, right? You had the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And as they were going through the wilderness up into the promised land, they noticed that the land east of the Jordan in the Gilead area, right east of the Jordan, promised land's west. It's so weird, like this way, right? West, east. You guys, I'm in my own head right now. So they're east of the Jordan, and they're like, man, this land, we got tons of livestock. This land is like pretty suitable for our flocks. So they're like, hey, can we just like have this area? And Moses is like, yeah, but like the promised land's on the other side of the Jordan. They're like, yeah, we know, but this land's like really suitable. And so God gave them their wish. He blessed them in that. But it wasn't the best for them. And this is kind of what I want to talk about. They saw that this land was suitable for their livestock. So they're like, oh, we want this land. God's like, yeah, I promised you this land, though. They're like, yeah, but this is pretty good. We'll take it. And God's like, okay. And he gave them what he wanted, and he blessed them in it. But they weren't abiding completely in the promised land, aka rest. They were only right next to it, right? And their decision to settle in the suitable but not best for them land ended up leading to them thinking that, oh man, our actual inheritance is going to be lost forever. It led to them being vulnerable to attack. It led to a bunch of consequences that they weren't thinking. They were just trying to grab what they could. It even almost led to a civil war between all the other Israelites in the promised land. All because they wanted this land they saw before them. They weren't fully resting in God. They weren't going all the way in. And the point here is that when we settle for anything less than God's best for us, there will be unintended consequences. All right? And that doesn't need to be like a threat. That doesn't even need to be a warning. That's just something that we can hold with us. When we settle for anything less than God's best for us, there will be unintended consequences. When we settle simply for escaping or being distracted as our rest, instead of being alone with Jesus in silence and solitude, we always end up more tired and exhausted. We're not fully resting in Him. You're not going to enjoy the full potential of His blessing unless we completely rest in Him. So, I want to talk about this one verse as we close here. I'm kind of close. Isaiah 30:15. None of us really want to be described as the person in this verse. I'm just going to read it. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. We don't want to be that guy or that girl who's described here, right? We want to have something to do. Look at these words that God is saying. Rest, salvation, quietness, trust, strength. We want those things, right? If you do some reverse engineering here on this verse, what it essentially says is, go to Jesus and you'll find the rest you seek. And in that rest is healing, which comes through repentance. Out of that rest and quietness, you'll find refreshment and strength as you learn to trust God more. That's what we want. But we have to fully go to God and rest in Him. So, what I want to do, worship team, you guys can come up. I got a couple minutes left. So what I want to do as a close, I want to urge you guys to not just hear these words today and be like, oh yeah, no rest, I need it. Uh-huh, got it. Like, I totally understand that. And then you leave here today and it's not applied to your life at all. Okay, because that's not wisdom. We can have all the knowledge about this, but if we're not applying it to our lives, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is taking that knowledge that God gives us and knowing how and when to use it. That's what wisdom is. So, we know that God wants us to rest, and we know that healing, strength, all of this stuff is found in rest. So let's do this. All right, let's take a day this week, whether it's today or another day. I even met with this super wise guy I meet with every once in a while, right? We hang out sometimes. He might be sitting down here with his wife, Debbie. We hung out this week, right? And he was like, what are you preaching on? And I'm like, hey, talking about rest and what God showed me about that and what He did for me while I was gone. And he's like, that's awesome. So what have you been doing? How have you been applying that since you've been home? And I was like, oh, dude, really? That's a good question. And my point is that it's so easy to have the knowledge and to not apply it. But God says that wisdom is taking the knowledge He gives us and knowing how and when to apply it. So we're learning here today through His Word that if we go to Him, He will give us the rest that we seek, all right? Not this empty promise of escape that our culture and the world promises us, but true rest leads to healing. So, to end, my question is, are you feeling busy or tired? Because if you are, if you said yes to either or both of those, go to Jesus. Spend time alone with Him. Throw away the distractions. Be alone with your Savior. He wants to give you rest, the rest that you truly seek, but we have to fully commit, all right? So let's end in prayer, guys.